My name's Dave, and I'm a Christian. She's never heard my testimony. I don't know why she keeps saying that I need to do my testimony, but I'll try and work it in, I guess. But before I do anything, I want to just pray for a second, because I got all this stuff running around in my head, and it's confusing me, and I just need to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I need your Spirit. I want to speak the truth, and I want to be coherent in what I say. And I love you. You know my heart, Lord. Please, help me as I speak tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I spoke down at Fryman. I've only been doing this a few years, and she came up to me after I spoke and said, "Okay, you got to speak what you just spoke here in this building tonight." And I said, "Well, I can try, but I don't write this stuff down, and I kind of know what I said, but I'm going to try and repeat a little of what I said at least a few Sundays ago." But before I get rolling, I got to tell you where I'm coming from. I already told you I'm a Christian, and I may say some things that you don't want to hear tonight, but just please bear with me and hear me all the way out. I believe in the Bible. I believe that the Bible has the very Word of God in it, and that this Word is alive, and it changes people. It changed me. And this Word, once it gets in you, can do some fantastic things, some beautiful things. It can convict you. It can comfort you. It can heal you. It can do all kinds of miraculous things, because this book is alive. The words in this book are alive. And I believe that. And I like to go back to Psalms. I think it's Psalms 18. And King David was saying about God, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. And He's a shield for all who take refuge in Him." And so tonight, I know I'm supposed to do my testimony, but I want to look at Jesus Christ. And that's what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. And some of you may be thinking, "Oh man, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I ever hear is Jesus. What's the big deal about Jesus?" So I want to go to this book, the Bible, and I want to pull from this book what the big deal about Jesus is, because He's a big deal. I think He's the only deal. And so I'm going to go to Colossians. If you've got a Bible, you probably ought to pull it out. I don't know. You got Bibles around here? Because you want to make sure that I'm not feeding you a line here, because anybody can get up here and talk. But I want to come straight from here, straight from the Word, I think, is from God. And you can read it for yourself, and you can get into this, and you can tell whether or not I'm right or wrong. Now, I don't have my glasses with me tonight. I don't know if God did that on purpose, but it's hard for me to read. Now, I can see out there, but I'm going to try and read from this book. That would be great, because it's hard to see without light. But I'm going to be starting from Colossians, and I'm going to skip around a little bit. You know what?
Thank you.
I have a light. I'm going to skip around a little bit. This is Colossians, the first chapter. This is in the New Testament, and I'm just going to read a little bit from Colossians. First chapter, verse 13. And this is what Paul says about God. He said, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, but I want to concentrate on this part right here. Number one, Colossians, first chapter. I'm in verse 15 now. He is the image of the invisible God. He's talking about Jesus here. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, of rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him. All things were created for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In Him all things hold together.
For the Bible, Toby, what page is that on for the Bible you guys have?
954.
954?
Okay. So what does that mean? What's he trying to say here? Let's do a little exercise. I'm in chapter 1 of Colossians. You can go through 15. I just finished up with verse 17. Okay? Those are good questions. You guys are actually... Yeah, I like that. Keep me honest, right? You need to. So, what he's saying here is this. I'm going to do a little exercise. Everybody, take a deep breath. Breathe in. And breathe out. Feels good, doesn't it? The only reason you could do that is because of Jesus Christ. All things are created through Him, for Him. Right? This ground that we're standing on, the only reason it's here is because of Jesus Christ, who I believe is the Son of God. The only reason that I'm able to talk to you tonight and I'm here is because of Jesus Christ. That is for sure. And I'll tell you why a little later. I don't believe the only reason that you're here tonight is because of Jesus Christ. He is a big deal. The reality that we know is because of Jesus Christ. The truth that we know comes from Christ. It all comes through Jesus Christ. That's out of Colossians. Now I'll skip over to Romans. Romans, the first chapter. I got to turn on my little light.
That's a good idea. When somebody gets to it in that Bible, say what page it's on.
9-11. Wow. This is Romans, the first chapter, verse 18. And this is kind of a scary verse coming up here. It says, For the wrath of God is revealed through heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Now, what does that mean? God has made Himself known to mankind from the very beginning. He doesn't have an excuse. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out on sinful man. Now, I got to thinking about this. Some of you math wizards. Let's just say, for example, that I'm a really good person. I mean, really good. And I only sin like 3 times a day. 3 times. That's it. And when I say sin, it can be not doing what I know I should do, not doing what God has asked me to do, or maybe thinking something, an evil thought about somebody, or getting wasted, or cursing somebody out, or hating someone, right? Lots of different stuff. I could go on and on, but I only did that 3 times a day, and I'm 30 years old. How many sins would I have committed in those 30 years? Somebody know math? Got a calculator on your phone? Over 32,000 sins. Now, I'm a little older than 30. So I'm looking at over 70,000 sins. And that's if I'm a good person. That's if I'm like a Mother Teresa type of good person, you know? But I'm not a good person. I've not been a good person for most of my life. So my sin load is probably up there of like 700,000, 1 million, 7 million. I don't know. It's a lot. I don't know if you've been arrested. Some of you maybe have, sounds like. It's not fun. You know, if you haven't been and you've got that on your bucket list, scratch that off because it's not a good time. It's not fun when somebody points a gun at you and throws you up against the wall and handcuffs you and pushes you into a car and takes you someplace that you don't want to go. And it's even worse when you get in front of a judge, right? Because in front of the judge is going to say whether or not you're going to have some kind of punishment. Think about going in front of a judge and he's got your sheet. And he looks at your sheet and he says, 32,000 times you broke the law. 700,000 times you broke the law. You know, however many times. He's got that in front of him. And you're going to stand there in front of him and say, well, you know, I really didn't mean it. You know, can you let me off this time? What's he going to do? Take that key. You're gone, right? Now think about that. You're standing in front of a righteous God on judgment day, and he's looking at you, and he's got that sheet. It's a bad day. It's a really bad day. But got to turn on my little light. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1. Romans 8:1.
Are you going to give us a Christmas lecture? That's my Christmas chapter.
I might, now that you said that. But no, not right this second. It's kind of amazing. You just sidetracked me. Hold on. Romans 8, 8th chapter, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not according to the flesh. That gets me in trouble. But according to His Spirit. I'm going to start in verse 6 now. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And that's very, very true. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't. You, however, are in the are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is a big deal. He's a huge deal. He's the only deal. All of those sins, all of that stuff that I've done, when I put my faith in Christ, it's gone. When I stand before God and He looks at me and He pulls out that sheet, and He probably doesn't have a sheet, but you know what I mean. He's not going to see all the crap and all the junk that I've done. He's going to see a nice, clean sheet. Clean by Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, who sacrificed Himself for me, and for you. But right now, I'm concentrating on the me. He's made me clean. He's erased my sheet. He's put my name in the book of life. Now, you said Christmas, so all right, I'm going to go there. How many of you have a favorite Christmas memory? Anybody have a favorite Christmas memory? I'm going to tell you my favorite Christmas memory. I can see it right now like it was yesterday. I'm laying in the snow on my back. I'm looking up at a clear blue sky. Perfectly clear. I'm in a little town in southern Japan. There's this guy standing over me. And he's looking down at me. And he says, "Are you all right?" And I said, "What day is it?" And he goes, "It's the 26th of December, the day after Christmas." And I said, "Holy bleep. You mean I missed Christmas?" And he's just looking down at me and he just smiles. And he shakes his head and he walks away. I've been on a 3-day drunk. Gone. And I was completely out of control. I drank to live. I lived to drink. Drugs, sex, whatever. When I wasn't working, I was slamming them down. And this guy standing over me, looking down at me, smiling and shaking his head and walking away, kind of just freaked me out. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Man, Dave, you must have had a lot of crappy Christmases, right?" No, I've had a lot of good Christmases. But that time and that instant brought me somewhere that I needed to go. That guy happened to be an alcoholic, and he had a lot of problems, but he was a recovering alcoholic. And later, he met up with me again, and he started talking to me about drinking. And I was scared. I was really scared. My drinking was out of control. I had thoughts of suicide, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't stop. I just could not stop. And he invited me to this AA meeting, so I went. I didn't have anywhere to turn. And I started listening to these guys tell their story at this meeting. I mean, these guys were ancient. They'd been through some stuff. They were probably 40 years old, you know. I was really young back then. I was in my mid-20s. And I did not want to wind up where they were. And so they started talking about this program and all these 12 steps. And I'm like, okay, I'll try it. But I had problems right off the bat because, like, the second step was you had to admit there was a higher power, and I was a complete atheist. There's no higher power. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in Jesus or any of that stuff. And they said, well, okay, you can believe that a coffee cup is a higher power. You can put your faith in anything, but you just got to know that there's something more powerful than you. So I said, okay, let's move on. So I went through a couple more steps, and then we got to this step 5 where you had to go confess a bunch of your stuff. I don't know if any of you have been through this kind of thing. You had to go confess a bunch of your stuff to somebody. Well, I don't want to confess my stuff to anybody because I had some really bad stuff. But they said, okay, look, there's this chaplain on the base in Sasebo in Japan. Call him up, make an appointment. He'll listen to your stuff. And he won't tell anybody. So I said, okay, I'll go. And I made an appointment, and this guy was a really nice guy. I'd never seen him before, but went in, and I sat down, and for about an hour, I told him about all this junk that I had done. And when I was done, he looked at me and he said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? And, you know, the guy had been nice. And now he knew all this stuff that I had done, so I didn't want to tick him off. But I was honest with him. I said, no, I really don't. And then I said something, and I don't know why I said it, but I said, and even if I did, I've done so much bad stuff, he'd never forgive me for any of that. And if there is a God and there's a heaven and a hell, I'd go straight to hell. So why believe in it? Well, he said, if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, he will. And I said, oh, okay. Thanks for listening to me. I got to get out of here, you know. And so I left. And that night, I'm sober. I have a bad time sleeping when I'm sober. And I'm laying in bed in a little apartment building in a small town in Japan, miles from any Americans, miles from any, as far as I know, any English-speaking people. And I'm laying on this tatami mat. I'm looking up at the ceiling. The light from the street lamps coming through the window. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. And what this guy said kept going through my head. Just ask Jesus to forgive you, you know, and he will. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. And I said this really, really deep theological prayer. I said, Jesus, I don't know if you exist or not, but would you forgive me of my sins? I mean, that was deep. It was thoughtful. And as soon as I got those words out of my mouth, bang, he was there. Right there in the room. I can't describe it. I didn't see some guy with long hair and a staff and a sheep under his arm or anything like that. But he was in the room with me. I could feel him. I've never felt love like that before, ever in my life. Comfort like I'd never felt. And he spoke to me. 3 words. That's all he said. 3 words. I forgive you. In perfect English, in a soft voice, and I was just undone. I've heard of people crying tears of joy, but I always thought that was a crock. You only cry when you're hurt. But I cried like a baby. I blubbered like I've never blubbered before. Just great big tears coming down my face. And all I could say was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how long I laid there like that, but When I walked out of that apartment the next day, I was a different person. I was changed. I was not the same man that went into that apartment that night. I'd like to say that this halo came over my head, and when I left there, I never sinned again, and everything was good, but it wasn't. For a while, I did pretty well. Didn't do any drinking. Told my friends, hey, I need to dry out. I need to sober up. They'd say, come on to the bar with us. No, can't do it. Oh, come on. You can do it. You don't have to drink anything. You can have an orange juice, something like that. Right? Yeah, somebody said, mm-hmm. And so I said, yeah, okay. One night I said, I'll go. And man, I was plastered. I woke up the next morning, I was just beside myself. What is going on? And I asked God to forgive me. I asked Jesus to forgive me. And I kind of kept into that routine for the next couple years. I'd be sober for a while and then crash and burn. And every time I did, it just tore me up. Because I knew what I had heard. I knew what I had felt. You know, Jesus said He forgave me, and here I was screwing up again. How could I do that? But the Bible says, I think it's in 2 Peter, there's a proverb that says, you know, a dog will return to its vomit. A pig, you clean it up, it'll go back to the mud. Why do pigs go back to the mud if you clean them up? Anybody a farmer around here?
Cools their skin down.
They like mud. Sweat.
Yeah, it cools their skin down. They like mud. They're a pig. You clean them up, they're going to go back, you know. And that's what I was doing. I was going back to the lifestyle that I had known, but I didn't like it. I did not like it. And so finally, it got to the point where I knew I had to make a change. Huge change. Huge. So I had a good career going at this point. My pathway was set in the military. Been in there for almost 10 years. I was Sub-Pac Sailor of the Year. Submarine Pacific Fleet Sailor of the Year. Had my picture on the wall inside the headquarters of the Admiral's office at Sub-Pac in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. I was on a fast track, but I just couldn't take it. I couldn't live the life anymore. I knew I had to make a huge change, and so I got out. The Sailor of the Year, 1984, got out of the military. I went back to this country. I went to church for the first time in, I don't know, ever, almost. I walked in to this huge church. Wasn't like this one. It was huge, had a big chandelier in it. All the men were in suits and ties, and the women were all dressed in nice dresses. It was beautiful. Organs, huge choir, you know. I'm in a t-shirt and jeans. I walk in there, and I'm like, what in the world am I doing in here? This is crazy. I shouldn't be in here. I don't belong here. But when that preacher got up and he started preaching from this, it was just like he was talking straight to me. I couldn't believe it. Questions that I had rolling in my head before I walked in there, he was answering straight out of this, like I had talked to him before I had come into the building. And I came back. I kept coming back. I got into Sunday night worship services and Sunday worship services. I went to Sunday school. If my friends could have seen me, they'd have had a heart attack and died knowing that me, Dave Grimm, was going to a Sunday school in a church. They would have never thought that possible. But I was just soaking up this word, and this word was changing me from the inside out. And then suddenly I didn't want to go drinking anymore. I had no desire to do that. I wasn't a pig anymore. I didn't want to go back and roll around in the mud, in the crap. And I was changed. Jesus Christ changed me. This word changed me. I never made it through the 12 steps of the 12-step program. Never did. And I could tell you all the great things that happened in my life since then. I had some rough times too. But those rough times, I look back on now and some of the best times of my life because I had Jesus with me in those times. But let me tell you something that for some of you, if you're suffering or have suffered with an addiction or you know somebody that's got an addiction to alcohol, drugs, whatever, I'm going to tell you one little story and then I'm going to shut up. I was down in Fryman Square a couple of years ago before COVID, and I was serving coffee because that's what I do on Sunday mornings. And come on down if y'all want some coffee and some donuts and stuff. Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. And this friend of mine comes up to me. His name's Ken. He comes bounding up to me and he goes, "Dave, come here, come here. You got to hear this." And he took me over to this guy. And this guy was obviously living out and dirty, scraggly, you know. And he brings me up to this guy and he says, "Hey, tell Dave what you told me." And the guy said, "I've been 10 days sober. I've been 10 days sober. It's the longest I've ever been sober." And we're like, "Yeah, all right." You know, high five. And he said, "Man, but it's tough. I'm being tempted right now. Tempted really bad. I need some prayer." And so me and Ken, we put our arms around him and we prayed. And we asked Jesus just to give him one more day of sobriety. One more day. Get him through today. So he's 11 days sober. And when we were done praying, I went back to serving my coffee. And I had this wave of nostalgia kind of wave over me, you know. And I got to thinking, man, I used to be just like that. 5 days sober. 10 days sober. 1 month sober. Oh, crap. 1 day sober. 5 days sober. 10 days sober. And I thought to myself, you know, man, I'm just so glad I'm not like that anymore. I don't have to go through that. And it's just like somebody slapped me upside the head. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I've been sober for over 30 years. I've been sober for over 30 years. I have not had the desire to go back to the mud. And I hadn't even thanked God for it. I hadn't thanked him. And I had to stop right there and I had to thank God. I had to thank Jesus for freeing me from the chain that had been dragging me down. The sin of the flesh. My sins are forgiven. I'm free. Jesus is a big deal. He's a big deal to me. He's the only deal. I don't know that I've ever shared that with anybody, but she wanted me to tell my testimony, so I did. Thank you for listening to me tonight, and I just want to close with a real quick word of prayer. Jesus, I know you had me down here for a reason. And I know you have all these folks down here for a reason. And I hope that that reason was fulfilled. I know that you love every person in this room. I know you forgive every person of any wrong thing they've ever done. I know that if they put their faith in you and ask you for forgiveness and mean it, that you'll forgive them. And one day, we'll be there in heaven with you. I pray that if there's somebody that's bound by something in this room, something of the flesh, that you'll free them from that, just like you freed me. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.